GP. The anticipation's killing me. Oh, there we go. All right, looks like we're live. Today is, what is today? April 3rd, Thursday. This is the regular meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. We're starting a little bit later than normal. It's about 6:40 p.m. We just had the joint meeting. With that, we'll go ahead and establish a quorum. We get the meeting kicked off. Member Witowski?
Present.
Member Hansen?
Here.
Member O'Brien?
Present.
Member Dowdy?
Here.
Member Myers is also here. We have a quorum. With that, we'll move on to a moment of silence. All right, thank you. And Director Hansen, will you lead us off in the Pledge of Allegiance, sir? Thank you, Director Munson. All right, oops, sorry about that. Next on the agenda is we'll do the advisory board and the member liaisons. I'll start with Member Dowdy.
Okay, I'm gonna take off my Harbor Advisory Board hat for a moment and talk about federal politics. I know there's a lot of controversy on both sides. In the morning, when I'm driving to work, I listen to one side of the station, one side of the political side, and then on the way home, I listen to the other side. And I think that our citizens should listen to both sides and make up their own mind, not let somebody else make up their mind. That's my political statement. But on the other hand, in the bay, coming into our bay now, and I don't know whether you can see these or not, these are called Vela Velas. They're little jellyfish that float. And from what I read this morning, they spawn out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and they go down like 6,000 feet and come up. Half of them have little sails that go right to left, and the other half sails go left to the right. Half of them go to Japan, half of them come here. They're a group mentality. They all stick together, and Jeremiah will tell you, sometimes out in the ocean, you'll see acres and acres of them all hooked together, all sailing along in the same direction there. And they're really kind of cool. So, and they're coming in from the northwest wind right now. I'm blowing them in. So that's my take.
Yeah, I saw a number of them on the beach just this morning. So, cool. All right, Member O'Brien?
Yeah, thanks, Gil. I just wanted to mention that Morro Bay Blessing of the Fleet is coming up, and it'll be on the 27th of April at 1 p.m. on the North T Pier. And immediately following the blessing at the Vets Hall, we'll have free lunch for all of those who wish to attend. And that will be catered by Tognazzini's Dockside. So just an invite to everybody in the community for Blessing of the Fleet and a free lunch. Hope to see you there.
What date was that again?
April 27th.
All right, thank you.
1 p.m.
North T Pier, Jeremiah?
Yes.
All right, North T Pier, okay, on the 27th. Cool. With that, I'll move on to Member Hansen.
Hello. Okay, so for the Chamber of Commerce of Morro Bay, I wanted to let you guys know that there's one day left to put in your nominations for our Citizen of the Year and Business of the Year and Living Treasure and Nonprofit of the Year. I know we got a couple nonprofit of the possibilities in the house today. Friends of Morro Bay Harbor, near and dear to the Harbor Advisory Board and the Harbor. If you put in your selection, it goes to a previous awardees, and they decide who it is that gets to be part of the nomination for the next year. Last year it was awesome. The parade the city put on for the 60th anniversary, everybody went through with a float, and this year we're definitely going to do some more things as far as like plaques that people can put in front of their businesses and take home and treasure. So that's one more day. If you go on morrowchamber.org, you can vote for those individuals and businesses. And then also the gala on May 17th for the chamber is something where all of the people who are awarded for those categories will be appreciated at that event. The tickets are also on sale on the morrowchamber.org website. And then there's support your local businesses. In downtown, we have the Shop Sip and Stroll on April 11th, and then on the Embarcadero, April 25th. So community members, get out there, get to know your neighbors who are business owners down there on the waterfront and in the downtown district. Also, there's a breakfast on the bay, continuing with that thought of community and making our future brighter. So that's April 16th for breakfast on the bay. I already mentioned at our earlier meeting that the Embarcadero Master Leaseholders, as well as the Chamber, all sent in requests for funding to Carbajal and other leaders in our state and federal governments requesting funding for dredging. So hopefully we have enough letters in there to get back and possibly have some funding for our harbor. And then hopefully somebody else can mention we got the Kite Festival coming up. I know it was in the report, and also the car show. So we have a nice kickoff of the summer coming in.
All right. Thank you, Member Hansen. Member Witowski?
Nothing to add. Thank you. Nothing to add. Thank you.
Okay. All right. For me, I have the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department. Our big event is coming up is the Marine Swap Meet last Saturday of June 28th. Starting to advertise that now that the citywide swap meet's over, and it's a big fundraising event for us. We also we have all vendors show up, and also there are some surplus boats, stuff people have donated that we'll be selling that'll go a couple kayaks, a canoe, and some other odds and ends. Then that will go directly to the nonprofit, and then eventually, hopefully, to some purposes that the Harbor Department needs as well. I think that's it. I don't know if our council liaison wants to speak at all. Good. All right. With that, we'll go ahead and close that out. We have no presentations today because of the joint session, so we'll just jump into the consent calendar. Oh, public comment. Oh, thank you. All right. Thanks. I got people looking out for me. With that, we'll go ahead and open it to public comment. Anybody wishing to address the harbor that has something that's not on the agenda or unable to stay? Any public comment? I don't see anybody in the audience. AGP, is there anybody with their hand raised?
Hi, Chair Byers. There are no raised hands in the queue.
Thank you for that. All right. Next up is the consent calendar. Anybody want to pull anything? Nothing. Approve the consent calendar. Ayes. Aye. All in favor? Aye.
I move that we accept the
consent. Lori doesn't.
Consent calendar as stated.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and second that. Now we say ayes. Ayes. All right. All right. With that, we'll go ahead and move to business item B1, which is the Harbor Director update. Director Munson.
Thank you, Chair Myers and Harbor Advisor Board. We had a busy month. Last month, the City Council had set their preliminary goals for the next 2 years. And of those three main goals, we had economic vitality and fiscal health, infrastructure resiliency, and the El Morro Elementary School. So out of those three goals, the harbor is included in the first two. So in this next month, we'll be trying to come up with some plans as to how we will fit into that, and we'll bring that back to the Harbor Advisory Board. But as you'll see in some of these updates, we're already working towards some of those things, towards infrastructure resiliency and economic vitality and fiscal health. Just last week, we successfully demolished 10 boats with our Division of Boating and Waterways contract. Our grant, we had $38,000 from that grant. And we used most of it, not all of it, but we were able to add on a couple more boats near the end of that to be able to utilize some more of that grant. We are seeking a new grant for this next year as well. So if you do have people that are interested in getting rid of their boat, which is just becoming a headache or they can't afford to maintain it anymore, let them know they can get more information down at the harbor office. The big dredging project is set to begin on May 9th. They'll be out here for about a month dredging the main channel. We still don't have any word on the December dredging for the Moro Channel. That's the area that heads towards the back of the bay, towards the launch ramp. They're actively conducting salmon surveys, and so my understanding is in the past that's postponed that dredging project, but I'll let you know as soon as I get an update on that. Some good news with we've got some traction with the possibility of dredging the State Park Marina. We've been talking with a consultant about sediment sampling and what the best strategy is for that. What they concluded was that essentially they know that the sediment in there is going to be too fine, or there's at least going to be a good amount of the sediment in there that's incompatible, and that we can't use our the same beach nourishment location as they do for our annual dredging. So that's in the past that's been bad news, and that just means that it's economically infeasible to do that dredging, because to haul it off site, it costs way too much money. What they suggested rather was to look at potential areas for beneficial reuse within the harbor. And there's a couple different ways that we could approach this. And what we did was we brainstormed a list of different options for reuse. And I sent over that list to the Coastal Commission, or some of the staffers over there, and we got a response back this week that they were favorable to some of them. So that's at least gives us a little bit of traction, and they didn't flat out deny us. So we're going to now go to look at some of the other regulatory agencies and see if they agree. And then if they do, then we'll start doing a sampling analysis of the not only the marina, but the potential nourishment locations. So that's still very early, so we'll find out. As you know, with the revetment, we've been looking into, getting some traction with the Army Corps of Engineers to see about them potentially funding it as a federal project. We do have a meeting with that regarding that next week, so we'll hopefully have some a better assessment as to whether they would consider it or not. With the boat launch down at the where we launch boats, we're looking at right now, rather than looking at it as a full project, which could take some time. We've looked at it, or I've looked at it, and something needs to be done about it sooner rather than later. So what I'm looking at doing is, or working with Public Works, is dividing that project into two sections, focusing on the upper ramp where there's a lot of exposed metal and rebar, replacing that section, and then getting some traction on the lower sections. We'll have to hold off on the eventual extension of the ramp and dealing with the undermining, but that will at least get us through the next few years while we can target a larger project with that. Sorry, I'll speed along here, but this is all good stuff. With the moorings, we're going to be looking. I'm developing a request for engineers to give us proposals on mooring specifications, because at some point we will need to be going out to an RFQ to be able to get additional people to service our moorings. Sorry, Gene, but. we will, you know, need to go along that route. Some good news, we did replace the Beach Street docks, and we're looking at replacing the gangway over there. There's a bit of a steepness right now to that gangway, so we're working on some different options for being able to not have such of a steep angle while it being serviceable. Next week, the pump out at the Tidelands dock will be replaced, so that's good news. We are working through some issues with lee sites, and we have a number of areas that are coming up for extension, a lot of them in the Measure D area, so we've been working with both the leaseholders, and we'll be working here with council soon to try and get some of those either new leases go out to RFP or something entirely different together. So more to come on that. I did send out a letter to all the master leaseholders this week. The intent of this was so that they could identify any repairs that they have planned to do in the next fiscal year. What we will be doing after that is we are going to start inspecting all of the public areas. We are inspecting three of those areas by the end of this month, and then we will prioritize the repairs to them. And then after we've started doing the public areas, we will then start inspecting the outside of the lee site areas. And we've also afforded in that letter that I sent out where they will give us the repairs that they plan to do. There's also an opportunity for them to let us know of what areas that we're deficient in. So I look forward to those comments. And also just the surrounding areas. So more to come on that. Finally, two more things. We've gotten in contact with PG&E regarding a couple issues. I'd like them to replace the light posts along the embarcaderos. Right now they're dealing with some transition in personnel, so I haven't gotten a firm response on that yet, but they are going to address the line sag over the boatyard. They're going to raise it up about a foot and a half. That won't give us enough to be able to pass through with sailboats, but that will at least give us a bit more clearance for safety, so that's a good thing. Final thing, while there is no set date yet for the first waterfront master plan advisory council, we're working in that direction. We received 10 proposals, which is an awesome job by Community Development Director Alan Singwald. We were only expecting about five or so, but we have 10, so we'll be reviewing those, and then hopefully, or we will be bringing those to the advisory the finalists to the advisory council, I believe, to for the final selection. So, that includes this item. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Director Monson. I'll open up to questions, discussions. All right, I have one.
Okay.
It's easy, sorry. I know we've completed the Beach Street. I've walked by there. I see it. It's pretty exciting to have that done. It's been, I think, a previous director actually kicked that off. Do you foresee any other, visible dock and harbor ones over the next, 12 months that you're aware of?
Are you saying any new dock replacements?
Yeah, repairs.
That's one of the things we're looking at, and so I hope to bring that back for the next HAB meeting as to
Perfect.
Which ones we're targeting, but it's all preliminary right now.
Yeah, I understood. It would be next fiscal year, I would assume.
Yes.
Okay, perfect. I think that's it. If there are other comments or from the advisory board, we'll open up to public comment. Anybody public comment here in the audience? Nope, nobody. AGP, is there anybody with their hands up in the on the call.
Hi, Chair Byers. There are no raised hands in the queue.
All right. Thank you. That will move on to business item B2. This is a consideration of the blanket waiver of slip qualifications for commercial salmon fishermen. I guess I'll turn it back over to you, Director Munson.
Yeah, thank you, Chair, and HAP members. All fishermen who have our produce fish tickets and proof that they have fished out at Outamora Bay, they receive a discount, and each one of those fishermen is afforded to have a waiver over 10 years. But usually, those are geared more towards vessel repairs, injury, or something else that's specific to them. Over the last couple seasons, we've had in 2023 and 2024, we've had complete shutdowns of the salmon fisheries, and it's really of no fault of the fishermen. And so what this item does is it grants a blanket waiver for all of the fishermen who received a discount or had those slip qualifications related to salmon fishing. And so this would just affect this year's qualifications, and we can readdress it next year if the season gets closed down again. But I think it's, even though there will be a slight loss in revenue from our slip fees, I think it's a good move in supporting our fishermen, and which has a greater, when the fishermen are doing well, it has a great impact on the overall economy. And so the loss in slip fees is negligible compared to that. So I'll open it up to questions or comments.
I have one. What is the estimated cost to the city?
I had originally tried to get the specific, let me see if it got written in there.
There is no cost. I don't think there is a cost, is there? If this is just for qualification, you still have to pay your full share. So this has nothing to do with cost.
Okay, I thought then maybe it's my misunderstanding. I thought that you received a discount on your slip fees associated with that. No.
No, the slip fees remain the same.
Oh, okay.
But the qualifications are reduced. But the fees.
Oh, yeah, yeah, okay. I get what you're saying.
So we're not cost the city.
Yeah, no. So we're not reducing the slip fees. It's just for maintaining their current fees. Yeah. The commercial fees.
Yeah, so I want to keep this a little under control because it's a little bit passionate. Marshall, I'm going to restate your question slightly differently. I think, and I'm going to tread lightly here. If the qualifications remain the same and we didn't grant this, they would lose the ability to continue to rent that at the fisherman rate. Is that a correct statement?
That's a correct statement.
So this effectively could put them out of business, or they give up that slip, and then we could rent it out at a higher rate to non-fishermen.
Yeah, but at the same time, the docks are intended for commercial fishermen.
I got
so,
measure D.
So there is in effect no loss of revenue.
It's a pretty brutal approach.
And I apologize because the staff report, which I had used for reference, had also included a fee reduction, which is why the fiscal impact included that. But
so this. Waiver then is just for them to maintain their
status. It's just for them to maintain maintain their status.
Okay,
and
perfect.
And I apologize for that.
Yeah, no, I just. All right, Jeremiah, I know you have some comments there. I apologize.
I thought I had the floor. I just wanted to make a correction. You said Measure D. It really has nothing at all to do with Measure D because the slips are all distributed to the commercial fishing industry, whether they're at the launch ramp or whether they're in the Measure D area.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you very much, Chris, for doing that. Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah, you will.
Member Dowdy, do you have a comment?
I guess I have a question. In dealing with the federal dredging in the past, the amount of commercial fishing played a role in the amount of money generated from Morro Bay. I don't know whether that still is an effect or not. I don't know.
That is definitely one of the factors that the federal government looks at when they were doing it. For example, when I was out on a boat tour at Port San Luis and we were talking to some of the Army Corps personnel, I was trying to highlight a lot of the economic benefits of the port related to recreational fishing and camping and you know, beachgoers. They didn't care about it. They cared about commercial fishing and commercial business along those lines. And so it definitely plays a huge role in the continued operation and dredging of the port.
Any other comments on that one? Member Hansen?
Yeah, it was funny when you said cost and asking about that. To me, in my mind, I was looking at the cost that they closed salmon and they shortened crab and how that has an effect on our economy locally. When you say it said that, you know, when it's salmon is open, it has a good draw for Morro Bay and for our businesses and for our restaurants and for people who come here because of what we are, which is a fishing village. So anyway, I would maybe point that out. It sounds like maybe you are going to point it out when going to any kind of federal or state requests that the closing of these things have actually significantly affected our ability for our locals to create revenue for themselves. So.
Thank you. Any other comments? All right, we'll go ahead and that and open it up to public comment. I think there was a gentleman that wanted to make a comment, or Lori. I didn't mean to get you all riled up there.
Hi, I'm Lori French. We're tag teaming tonight. We will take a discount on slip rent anytime. For the love of God, please. Bodega Bay is actually doing it. But that's a different subject. Just a little background, just for our boat. 2022, first day out of crab season, someone detached his retina. We lost crab season. There was no, oh no, wait a minute, 2023. There was no salmon season. Zero income from the boat. 2023, we had okay crab season going into it, and then the steering shaft went out and he had to be towed in. End of crab season, no salmon season. 2025, are we in 25? Yes. Beyond crappy crab season, he chose to fish locally this year and don't hate me, dear, he didn't even make enough to cover bait. And it's looking like there's no salmon season. And just a few numbers that I picked up this afternoon. In 2024, this is from the California State Fish and Wildlife's report, Marine Region report. 2024, there was 2,587 boats commercially. 2014, 2,836 boats, which is a decrease of 9%. The fishing game budget for 2024 was, I can't even say numbers this high, $30,380,4900. 2024, $18 million. See the difference there? It's a big number. Morro Bay fishing value in 2024 was 300, No, let me try that again. $3,678,000,000. 2014, $10,500,000. The difference is a loss of 67%. Landing pounds in Morro Bay, 2024, 1,608 pounds. 2014, 7,311 pounds. I think I said that right. Which is a loss of 78%. This is what is happening with closed seasons, ever-increasing regulations. I won't say anything about our California state government, but these are the factors that are affecting us. They affect the town. That's why we need to look at the slip qualifications for the future generations. We have to make it conducive for them to stay in business. And thank you.
Thank you, Ms. French. Appreciate that. We'll go ahead and see. Is there anybody else in the audience want to make a comment? Oh, all right. Thank you.
Hello, I'm Jeff French. I'm a commercial fisherman out of Morro Bay. Been doing it for 45 years. And we had one of the original slips in Morro Bay for the Longosta the Second. And my wife just said some of the things I've gone through, which partly is age, partly is just bad luck. I mean, I ran a very successful fishing operation for years and years. But anyway, I wanted to correct on the reason why there were slip requirements in the first place. My understanding was there was a line of fishermen that wanted to have those slips, and they wanted to make sure the people that had those slips were qualified. So guys that weren't fishing didn't have those slips. That was the initial one. It wasn't about the amount of money or the slip fee or if it was a sports or if it was a non-commercial or commercial. So anyway, and I do have a possible solution if this doesn't work out. I mean, if you don't completely exempt the requirements. And one of the ways would be just that right now, at a 25-foot boat, is $200 per foot. The next one is at a 50-foot boat, is $10,000. That's $200 a foot. And my boat is a 40-foot boat, and I'm actually required to come up with $250 per foot because it's not incremental. And the way to solve it would be $5,000, and for every foot past that would be $200. And that would be an even distribution of by the size of the boat and not by, and now the reason for that is potential is what was the reason why they did that. They felt the larger boats had more potential. It was a simpler formula, but that would be a straight line equation of it instead of having two tiered like it is. Thank you. Oh, I wanted to thank you for the improvements on the slips for the city and the harbor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. French. Appreciate that. Well, AGP, is there anybody with their hand raised on the phone?
Hi, Chair Byers. There are no raised hands in the queue.
All right, that will bring it back to the advisory board. Any further discussion on that? Questions? I have one or two. The pricing model is interesting. That would be a fee study. I guess the question is, you know, this is a one-off, so this particular season is a bad season, and we're going to grant exceptions and waivers. I guess sort of twofold to that, is it really necessary? Do we have a long waiting line for this? Do we need to have any qualifications anymore? And maybe an alternative is, can it be a standard thing if the season gets closed out through no fault of their own? Would they get an automatic waiver for that?
I think we should definitely consider that. I was just thinking the same thing. Is it redundant to come back every time and do it if it just makes sense to extend it? But I think, you could. I would believe that it's within your power to recommend having that waiver continue as long as there's a closure.
Yeah, my initial thought was to have do this one off for this particular year because of the, but look at it longer term that. let's get through this one and then maybe look at longer term, maybe changing the policy or, you know, some other things, and maybe revisit a few of the other items if there are, you know, input from the fishing industry, again, because it is so important, not just the economic side of it, but also for there's other side benefits that we talked about, like the dredging and other pieces.
I think that's a good idea. I'll why don't we work through this one as is, and then going forward, though, I'll look at how we can go about doing that.
Okay.
Well, I think maybe we can do it now. What is the current verbiage of it? It says something about they can have one per year. Per 10 years, what is the...
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't have the exact wording in front of me. I just know that there's they're allowed to have two within a 10-year period. And yeah, it would be... It seems to make sense that if there's a closure that's beyond their control, it seems that that would... It would make sense that they would not have to meet the requirements for that given year.
Okay.
I'm a little nervous about doing it right now just because of the unintended consequences. I want to feel generous, but also if the, you know, the example is the salmon season is closed for 10 years, there may be, you know, no reason to give them a qualification because they may not be in business anymore. I just don't know.
Just because, because it might be a policy, we might not have the... We have general discretion to be able to waive that requirement, but as far as changing the policy, that's what I'll need to get back on.
Ah, okay.
So we can make it a future. I can request that we make it a future agenda item. Speaking with legal and finding out a proper way to say change the policy based on closures. I would make a motion unless anybody else has a question or. Comment. All right, so I move that we accept the blanket waiver of slip qualifications for salmon fishermen due to the 2024 season closure.
I second it.
All right, we have a second by Member Witowski. I guess we'll just do a voice vote. All in favor?
Aye.
All right. Motion carries 5-0. All right. With that, we'll go ahead and close item B2. Future agenda items. I think we have one that we'll go ahead and add against this about the qualification piece.
Can we also add just to re-examine the fee structure based on public comment?
Sure. Yeah, we could probably include that with, when we get it onto the agenda item. We can kind of control the scope of that. It'd be perfect. The other two items that we tentatively had on the agenda for this time, I'd like to see if we can get those on for next time. We were going to talk about a little bit about the budget and then obviously the goals. Director Munson, do you believe we'll be in a position to review the HAB goals for next meeting?
I believe so.
Okay, perfect. Is there anything on the other future agenda items that we'd like to try to maybe...
Are we going out of turn?
What do you mean? No, that's it.
Oh, wow. Okay. I thought
we were going to talk about goals, but unfortunately it didn't make it because that was just done at the City Council 2 days ago.
So it's just for our information on the agenda. Okay, gotcha.
Any other future agenda items that we'd want to, I mean, we'll get a waterfront master plan once that gets up and going, but we don't have any updates at this point. All right, so we just have those three items then.
Sorry, you had budget, HAB goals, and what else?
A deeper dive into the qualifications piece that we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
Sounds like it'd probably be a good ad hoc. All right. With that, if there's nothing else, we'll go ahead and adjourn this evening's Harbor Advisory Board. Thank you all for attending. Take care.